When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
There is no snap. He's going to the teed up ball. He launches his right cleat into it. This boot with great distance. And Dicker drills it with zeros on the clock. He converts for three, 21-13.
That was John Sadak on Westwood One. A free kick for the first time in 50 years. Everyone's fired up. The Chargers used it as a major momentum boost going into halftime. They were trailing by 11. That cut it down to 8. And then they just came alive in the second half. Good morning, Perloff.
Okay,
a free kick.
I was bummed during the free kick because we were having a debate yesterday about who's the better coach, Sean Payton or Jim Harbaugh. And I know, to me, this is my general philosophy. To focus on one or two plays in a game is always a mistake. Because I think you overrate, Sean, you're killing Sean McDermott because he made a huge mistake in the Rams game where
right,
he screwed up. But to me, that is not like the story of Sean Payton and Jim Harbaugh last night, that Jim Harbaugh's staff outfoxed Sean Payton's staff last night. That's not actually what happened in the game. And I think people are looking at that free kick, which was genius, the fair catch free kick, and saying, oh my God, look at the Chargers. What a clever team.
Well, I don't think it comes all down to that, but Sean Payton getting the ball back and having less than a minute to go and then deciding to pass on second down, stop the clock, and allowed Jim Harbaugh, once they got a stop on third down, to call a timeout. You had a few seconds left. You're like, all right, let's just see what happens. What happens was you had the gunner runs into the return man who had called for a fair catch. It triggered a 15-yard penalty and this free kick, which, again, I haven't seen since the 70s. And it gave that little bit, just that little bit of spark. And to be honest, it usually happens the other way for the Chargers. Usually the Chargers will let somebody back in the door, and that will lead to some kind of epic backslide, downturn, unlucky, whatever. And now it's the Chargers are the ones who, at least in this instance, were able to, regroup, defense start getting after it, and you have such an advantage at quarterback when you're talking about Justin Herbert versus the rookie Bo Nix. It didn't feel that way necessarily in the first half, but in the second half, Herbert was brilliant.
Right. So what does coaching have to do with any of that? I think somebody at halftime, in the Chargers locker room, we've been looking at the numbers. We have Justin Herbert. They have Bo Nix. Let's go win this game. And I don't know. It feels like everyone's talking about this free kick. It's going to be the free kick game because it's been, 48 years since it happened?
So cool.
So it'll be the free kick game. But I think the Chargers, here's my overall take on them. They have not beaten a really good team yet. They've come really close. I don't think they did last night. I think Denver, at the end of the day, has a rookie quarterback. They're a rebuilding team. Their roster's not where Sean Payton wants. I think they're over their skis with this record. So I'm still not wildly convinced by that Chargers win. Because we saw last week against Tampa Bay, they really did not look like that caliber of team. So beating Denver, to me, even with a brilliant free kick, is not wowing me.
Well, I think it's the nature of it, right? Yeah. You get blown out last week in the fourth quarter against Tampa, and you are struggling in the first half against a rookie quarterback. The Denver Broncos scored touchdowns in the first three possessions of the game. And then, to be fair, the Chargers defense got this got them back into it. And Justin Herbert using his legs, even though he's on a bum ankle, because that Herbert interception, he threw a bad pick at the end of the first half, which end of the first half. He threw the bad interception. I mean, it was terrible, right? It was bad. And the defense really picked it up, because they had been struggling the second half against Tampa last week, the first half against Denver last night, and they let Bo Nix look like he was slicing and dicing them. And so the combination of the defense kind of stiffening up, and then also Justin Herbert starting to use his legs and just sort of took over the game, was the difference here.
Right, but what does it mean moving forward?
It means to me that I think the Chargers are dangerous for that reason.
Dangerous how?
Dangerous like they could go on the road and win a playoff game. Mm. That's dangerous to me. Could they go to Buffalo and beat the Bills? It's possible. Could they go to Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers? Definitely possible.
Yeah, that one, definitely. But I don't think it's going to be Steelers. I think the Chargers are going to be the 6 or 7 seed. So it's going to be Buffalo is going to be the 2. Or yeah. Kansas City, possibly, if Mahomes' ankle. But it's going to be one of those 2 elite teams. And then if Baltimore catches Pittsburgh, which is very realistic, then it could be Baltimore. You're telling me the L.A. Chargers are going to fly to Baltimore, or they're going to fly to Buffalo and win that game? I cannot see that.
Listen, new kind of Chargers team.
Where have you seen the evidence of the new, like, show me their East Coast win? Yeah, that was a home win against Denver. That's the Brandon Staley Chargers. They won that game all the time.
They don't have a traditional home field advantage because the stadium is so split. They got to go silent count in their own home stadium because... Not by any fault of the fans, because the organization has toyed with them and messed around.
I know. When the game was decided at the end, you saw all these sad Broncos fans streaming into the... I was like, wait, I forgot. I thought this was in L.A. But I honestly think that they are not set. They're not a team that looks like they can go on the road and win in this very difficult AFC right now. I just find it hard to imagine, especially Buffalo. Oh, my God. Like, Buffalo is going to be on such a mission, and I think Baltimore is going to be on a mission. Baltimore is probably, if they do get that 3 seed and you have to go there, Lamar Jackson is going to run on every play because they are going to be desperate to prove that they're not a postseason failure. It's going to be a tough assignment.
Of course it is, but it's the playoffs, and I want to see what the Chargers would have cooked up if they were going to Baltimore, going to Buffalo, going to Pittsburgh, where any of these places, because, you know, even we saw almost like the two different sides of the Chargers, and when the defense looks like Derwin James is flying around and Joey Bosa is actually making an impact, and, you know, you have, like, you got dudes who are on this defense, and then on the flip side, they were able to get some run plays even after Gus Edwards was hurt. You know, Herbert is an equalizer. If he's getting healthier and healthier on that ankle, listen, there's no sugarcoating it. You need more than Ladd McConkey. You can't be relying that much on a rookie in your wide receiver room. And Palmer had the unbelievable 2-point conversion. I still don't know how he got 2 feet down. But he's not a number one, but he's not a scrub. So, you know, you need McConkey, you need Palmer, and Quentin Johnston.
He's hit and miss.
Yeah, it's not reliable. But these are things that can be fixed if we're talking about the future of the Chargers. And I just think they are dangerous because when Herbert looks good, Perloff, he looks like one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Herbert's amazing. There's no doubt about it. The rest of the team is not caught up. And you say you're dying to see what they cook up. They don't have any options to cook up. Now, listen, Gus Edwards got rolling downhill. It's kind of like me on the basketball court. Once in a while, an old guy could get it going. But he had 14 carries.
We're going to need some video evidence of that.
Gus Edwards had 14 carries for 68 yards. 43 of them were on that one thing. Like, most of the times, Gus Edwards runs in the line and gets tackled for 1 or 2 yards. And I've been watching the Chargers since J.K. Dobbins went down. Their offense is definitely limited in that way. Like, they're not going to run over anybody. Baltimore knows Gus Edwards really well. I just don't think that running attack is going to be dangerous in the playoffs. And then you don't have a lot of options in the pass game. So it's going to be Herbert being Superman, Josh Allen style. And I think the defense is vulnerable against good teams, too. I obviously, we saw Mike Evans just completely torch them. And you're going to have Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson going against them. That's very hard.
This is the one thing where I think you and I really disagree about the Chargers. You see no difference in the Jim Harbaugh taking over this team. I don't think you see any appreciable difference. You said this was a Brandon Staley game. Brandon Staley could have won this game. I don't think so.
I mean, 2 years, what's the difference, real big difference between forget last year, 2 years ago, when the year that they blew it to the Jags, what were they, 10 and 6 or something? Like, they were kind of like a just barely above 500 team. No, I don't see a huge difference, because I don't think Jim Harbaugh has his full team ready. I think he's a little bit ahead of himself. I don't think he's ready to go. I don't think he's built the Jim Harbaugh team. So I think that they'll probably lose early in this year's playoffs. And then moving forward, then you'll see a Jim Harbaugh team. Maybe I'm dumb. No, I don't see. I see after the game a wild celebration and Jim Harbaugh getting a lot of FaceTime. But on the field, no, I don't think they're wildly different than they were 2 years ago. I mean, they do have, the key to them, obviously, is get Derwin James healthy, which is such a rare occasion. But he is now. So, no, I don't think they're way better. Do you?
I think they're way more dangerous. I mean, this is why Jim Harbaugh, you know, this is why I wanted him to come coach the Bills. This is why, you know, I can't tell you you're going to race whatever, you know, decades of Charger football all in one season. But I like the way it's going. And to be fair, I actually like the way it's going for the Broncos, too. But last night ended up being bad for them. You can't have two 11-point leads, even with a rookie quarterback. That's where Sean Payton has to really come in and help his QB. Because they obviously started bringing pressure against Bo Nix, and he didn't know what to do, where to go, what was going on.
Yeah, so, but I mean, what help? He already helped them with all the short passing early. There was no... I don't know what Sean Payton can dial up there when you can't run and you can't throw the ball downfield. He did scheme some guys wide open, and Nick's missed them.
855-212-4227. EJ, I think the question on the poll today is, are the Chargers a dangerous team? Dangerous playoff team.
You could get more specific. Do you think the Chargers win a playoff game?
The Chargers win a playoff game? Great.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be on the road. It's going to be cold weather. It's going to be all those things.
I mean, they definitely want Pittsburgh. There's no doubt about that. But I think Pittsburgh's in a tough spot. I mean, can Pittsburgh beat Baltimore again? Can Mike Tomlin pull this magic trick off again, Maggie?
Well, they did play each other. Yeah. They did go to Pittsburgh earlier this season. Yeah. They lost 20-10. Yeah. And that was with Justin Fields, though. So it was a little bit different. Ooh. Everything was a little bit different.
Herbert also came out of that game with the ankle. Yes. So he didn't play the second half.
Man, his ankle's been just messed up since September.
He might have been lying. He said after the game, this is the best I've felt. It's getting better and better.
Yeah, that's a lie.
He looked pretty good on that.
That's a post-game adrenaline rush. This doesn't even set in yet.
He looked pretty good on a couple of those runs.
No, he did. I mean, let's be honest.
Flying.
He was keeping drives alive in the third quarter, and a massive run in the fourth quarter, a 16-yarder to keep the drive alive. No, Herbert was very good. Outside of that interception, which was just BS, I mean... his part. Come on.
What did Harbaugh do to have Justin Herbert throwing against his body while getting sacked 20 yards downfield for a touchdown? I don't know that was a Harbaugh move.
Okay, then give the credit to Herbert, and that's why they're dangerous, because he actually is a very good team.
Yeah, I just don't think against good teams. I don't think there's been evidence this year that they can really beat a good team, and I think going on the road from west to east, which is very likely, is going to be really, really challenging, because I mean, what is the win? They've come close against a lot of good teams, but they haven't really finished it.
855-212-4227. I mean, listen, it is a nice moment here for the Chargers, because they were coming off of two straight losses. They lost at Kansas City, and then the Tampa Bay score looked a lot worse than the game actually was. It was a pretty tight game into the middle of the third quarter, and then Tampa sort of just ran away with it. And then to be down 11 at two different points in the game, and it looks like the rookie Bo Nix is just slicing you and dicing you, and to come back from that, I think, is impressive.
Who would you rather see as a Bills fan? The Broncos coming to town, or the Chargers coming to town, or wild card, the Bengals sneaking in over the Broncos? Like, who would scare you out of that bottom three?
Oh, well, definitely Bengals. 100%.
They already came probably into Buffalo, not going to make it in,
kick their ass in the playoffs. Yeah. So, yeah, that definitely Bengals would be one. Two, if I'm ranking who I'm most afraid of, Bengals, Chargers, and then Broncos, not because of Sean Payton. I have a healthy respect for Payton. It's because I'll always bet against a rookie quarterback on the road. Always.
Oh, yeah. I think you have almost as big advantage over the Chargers. It's just, can you just imagine, like, the Chargers, it's going to be cold.
Jim Harbaugh was coaching in Michigan last year.
Yeah, but I don't see this particular Chargers team. Also, again, look at Gus Edwards a little deeper last night. Like, he has a lot of two-yard runs, and that puts the defense in a great position. I'm not scared of either team. I think your Bills are going to be just fine.
855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. We're going to get this going this morning about the Chargers. Can they win a playoff game is our question for you. Will they win a playoff game? Can they? How about will they? Will they win a playoff game? Tough because we don't know the opponent, but the point remains. Okay, we've got a fun show today. I'm excited. We hope you're excited. We're going to start counting down the top moments from the Maggie and Perloff show over the last calendar year, 2024. And we're going to start that in the very next segment. Our countdown begins right after this break. And of course, your phone calls about the Chargers or the Broncos. I'm curious, how many of these does Perloff know is coming?
Well, I had trouble when we were thinking about this. What was this year and what was last year? And don't tell me I'm the only one here. Wait, was that 2024? There's one event that we went to. I'm like, that was this year? That can't possibly be true.
There's a Perloff suggestion for this list that definitely happened in 2023. I started doing the research. I was like, yep, that's not going to work.
Oh, okay. And you guys are like masters of the calendar here.
No, I'm just saying. You said that you didn't know like which time. I was like, yeah, I learned that the hard way last night trying to cut, make these cuts.
Wait, where is this? I can't find it. Oh, it's in the 2023 folder.
Yep.
Yeah, you start doing this wonky shift. Who knows about time? Who cares? All I know is that we're together here today, and we're going to start counting down some of the best moments from the Maggie and Perloff show. We also have our White Elephant gift exchange, which you can vicariously live through us, and a whole lot more fun. Yeah. Okay. Chargers. Will they win a playoff game? That's number one. And we start counting down our greatest moments of the year next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. I think a lot of us learned how a free kick works last night. Again, just watch it. Like, wait, what is happening here? The Chargers got a free kick at the end of the half, 57-yard field goal. That, according to Maggie, was the momentum that led them into the second half domination. My take on it is Bo Nix cannot throw the ball accurately more than 11 yards downfield. Not yet. I think he'll be good eventually, but man, he missed some opportunities last night against the Chargers. Chargers win. Justin Herbert, awesome. Again, I don't think it's about coaching. I think it's about Justin Herbert being way, way better than Bo Nix.
Yeah, he was obviously a difference, but Bo Nix looked great in the first quarter, in the first half.
He's got the little zip, zip, zip thing, yep. But you can adjust to that.
Which they did. All of a sudden, he was being smothered.
Yeah, and also they couldn't run. And so Bo Nix on, as Tony Gonzalez said this, Bo Nix on 3rd and 9 is a lot different than Bo Nix on 3rd and 1. It's a way different thing. So you can rush the quarterback. I think Denver, if Denver and the Chargers make the playoffs, like Denver's going to have a hard time. They're going to have to travel east, and you said it, it's hard for a rookie quarterback to win in the playoffs.
I think for Denver, though, the calculus is different. They make the playoffs with a rookie quarterback in a season. I think they were picked to win 5 games. This is a major W for them, as opposed to the Chargers, who you feel like with Harbaugh and with Herbert, to me, this should be a playoff team. And I don't want to hear about the division. This should be a playoff team, and yeah, they still have a while to go for team building and such, but
right. But both teams don't get the NFC South next year. Their schedules are going to get way harder. I mean, a big function of this is a lot of New Orleans and Carolina. Like, I would not read too much into a playoff trip for Denver. It's going to get way harder next year.
Let's go to the phones. Our question today, will the Chargers win a playoff game? Brad's in Alabama. Morning, Brad. What's up, dude?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're great.
Well, it's yesterday's question. I think Harbaugh will win a Super Bowl before Peyton. Peyton had a chance to draft Michael Vick and chose to draft Marcus Davenport. He usually doesn't work with young quarterbacks well. That's why I think the Bo Nix experience is not going to go well. Harbaugh's got to be the tip of the spear for the Chargers because he can't go back to college like Belichick did and pick up a $30 million check.
Wait, who? What did you say about Peyton? That he could have taken he who draft, into who?
They drafted Marcus Davenport.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of Michael Vick. I mean, look at me.
Yeah, I was like, Michael Vick.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. There we go. All right.
We all wanted to see Lamar on the turf in the dome. My bad.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That makes a little more
Michael
sense.
Vick, but they drafted Marcus Davenport out of University of Texas, San Antonio. Yeah. I mean, he was a great player that year, but you could have got Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but yeah. Sean Payton, I don't think that's not a Sean Payton quarterback. You know, he had Drew Brees sitting in the pocket his entire life. He wanted Mahomes desperately, right? That's Sean Payton's claim.
The Sean Payton thing is he wanted Mahomes, and somehow the Kansas City Chiefs found out about it.
And jumped him. Yeah.
And they jumped him in the draft. But Brad, you're right. You know, and thank you for the call. A lot everyone missed on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I'm not sure the time frame would have worked out with Sean Payton. I don't know what would happen with Lamar Jackson, but Mahomes would have definitely been an improvement. Like, you covered the end of Eli Manning, and that was the end of Drew Brees. It's tricky to draft a quarterback when you have a 36-year-old guy who's like a Hall of Famer. So I'm not going to kill him for not taking Lamar Jackson.
I know, but to be fair, I mean, Joe Flacco, the Ravens did it, and it was brilliant. I don't Joe Flacco's not a Hall of Famer, but he's got the same amount of rings as Drew Brees.
I understand, but Sean Payton, like, that would be a very different thing. Like, I think Lamar Jackson went to the right team, like, and went had the right quarterback ahead of him. Because Drew Brees probably would have been really unhappy if he had Lamar Jackson looking over his shoulder.
Well, I mean, too bad, right? Because, like, you have, you know, to Brad's point, like, it's going to end at some, it's going to end at some time. And listen, they tried to keep Drew Brees viable for as long as possible. They had Taysom Hill coming in every time he had to throw the ball over 40 yards or for these big plays. Definitely should have drafted a quarterback. And the thing about, like, is he a Sean Payton kind of guy, like, stylistically? Listen, if you're a really good coach, and Sean Payton is a very good offensive coach, can't you win in a variety of different ways? Don't you just go with the talent? And that's why everybody missed on Lamar.
I mean, he loved Taysom Hill, so I don't know if the Lamar
is a fair. That's true. But he never really went the full Taysom Hill.
Because Taysom Hill stunk.
Yeah, until, did you see Taysom Hill this year? He was amazing.
As a H-back.
He's an amazing H-back.
He was
the MVP. The thing is, you know, the year that they could have drafted Lamar, they made the Super Bowl. They made the NFC title game. That was the pass interference call. So Brees wasn't done. You have to remember. He was like kind of like Eli. Like, I just think it's complicated. In fact, if they had drafted Mahomes, I think that would have been like an Aaron Rodgers situation where Drew Brees would have gone ballistic and gone to another team. Because he still had some juice left. Anyway, I don't know why we're reliving that draft. That's a good call.
No, but I just had I was like, Marcus Davenport over Michael Vick. Like, was I in the Matrix for that
I knew exactly what
sounds
he was
like
saying.
Really? Sounds like a mani call.
Okay, so let's go to Jimmy in San Diego. Claims that he remembers the last time we saw the Chargers free kick in the 70s.
Maggie Perloff. You didn't even have to tell our head coach. He was very intelligent. His name was Tommy Prothrow. The guy would smoke a whole pack of cigarettes during the game. Extremely intelligent. He was the one that told the officials and everybody about the situation, and a guy named Ray Wershing knocked it right through the uprights. And Maggie Perloff, my dad in 1962 took me to a game, and the Jets were called the Titans.
Yep.
Now, knowing the loving, nurturing nature of the NFL, do you think they charged Tennessee for the naming rights?
Oh, that's a great question that I've never thought of before. I didn't know about Prothrow. I wasn't, you know, as familiar, as not as much of a household name in terms of, like, football lore. But obviously they started talking about him a lot last night because Dan Fouts, the legendary Hall of Fame quarterback who was there for that free kick, called the Amazon production crew. Apparently he had a number of someone who does stats or, you know, listen, Dan Fouts did TV forever, so he's got connections, and told the story of that. He said he had to convince the coach that it was legal and that Dan Fouts was the one who told him to go for the free kick.
Amazing. You got to Google Tommy Prothrow. The first picture that comes up is just beautiful. It's a work of art.
Is he got two cigarettes hanging out his mouth at
the
same time? He's
on the sideline wearing 70s coaching gear with a cigarette.
Oh yeah.
Between his fingers. Amazing.
If Cap, you can find this, please post it on the
YouTube chat. Goodness. This is when glasses were thick.
Yeah, yeah. And look at the hat. Like, if you were, I dressed as a 70s football coach for Halloween. This is even better. You had to have that nylon jacket, short sleeve polo shirt with a collar that was way too big. I don't even know what his hat is. There's no bolt on this uniform. It's just generic blue and yellow. The 70s NFL was glorious in every possible way.
We gotta get Tommy Prothrow a little bit more back in the lexicon.
I think we should
do a little research.
We should do one day of the top 10 incidents of athletes smoking cigarettes. because you have Dave Parker, Dick Allen was on, who recently passed, was on the cover of SI.
Yep.
in the dugout. What's he? The
Jim coach? Leland.
Jim Leland is number one.
That was like, but Jim Leland was smoking cigarettes in the dugout in like 2010. <I
know>. Right, to do it more recently. Len Dawson, most famously at halftime of the Super Bowl III or Super Bowl II.
Great photo.
Yeah.
There are some athletes, I think, who smoke now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Eastern European guys, wasn't there a rumor that Joker smoked, or did we just make that up?
I think you just made that up right now.
No, I think like Jokic was a smoker at one point. Apparently, I swear to God.
Apparently Korean baseball players, to relieve the stress of hitting, they smoke packs and packs and packs. Ha Sung Kim apparently smokes a pack a day or something like that for the Padres.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I think so. You're saying I made that up, but that's not.
I searched Nikola Jokic smoking, and there's that meme of him with a do-rag with a cigarette in his ear and a cigarette in his mouth. Maybe you've seen this meme, Perloff.
Yeah, or he looks like I don't know, like he's on the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't know how you smoke if you're playing that intense of a cardio sport. Yeah, like, man. Baseball is
I can understand Ha Sung Kim smoking. All he has to do is run 90 feet every 2.5 hours.
You have time to recover.
Yeah,
but
no
you're
doubt.
Playing basketball in Denver.
Oh, I totally disagree. Luck. I bet you there are a ton of athletes who vape.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think they're bitten through the years. Smoking, what do you call it? It gives you adrenaline. It gets you energy. You keep weight off.
A lot of these guys smoke marijuana, obviously.
Yeah, that's a slightly different effect. Right. But you also have a lot of guys dip.
Oh, my God, right. Exactly. I think for the same reason. It's a stimulant.
Did you guys, now we're on this topic, Josh Allen was asked recently because he lost a little bit of weight or he looks a little bit slimmer. And they asked him, like, so what's your secret? And I think he said something about he maybe yada-yada over nutrition and diet or whatever. And then he goes, I don't know if I should say this, but it's Zins. It's like Swedish... smokeless tobacco
thing.
Women generally are into also to try to lose weight.
It's Vlade Divac is a famous smoker.
Oh,
right?
Well, Divac, yeah. Of course he was.
But I just assume Joker, I don't know.
Well, Divac is playing in the 80s. Of course he's smoking. It was mandatory back then.
Yeah, but I mean, I think smoking in certain parts of the world is still very popular. Very, very popular.
Like France?
Like Eastern Europe, like the Russian sphere.
Yeah.
And I'm not basing this on any information.
What was the last time you were in the Russian sphere?
Well, fortunately, not the last three years.
I wouldn't go now.
Trust me.
Yeah. I wouldn't go now.
Yeah. I mean, you think, whatever. I'm not going to make any jokes here. That would be insensitive.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm of Ukrainian descent, and my family.
Well, that's very serious.
I understand. Like, we smoked. Actually, no. My family's from, they don't know, it was Ukraine, Russia, so whatever. We're from the Pale, is what it's called. And I think everyone smokes over there. I do. I think a lot of smoking. And you go to Europe, right? Everyone's smoking.
Yeah, it does seem a little old school. When I see people smoking on the street in New York, like the old school cigarettes, I'm like, salute. Like, way to bring it back. Nostalgia's very in right now, 90s, stuff like that. Yeah.
Anyway. Not in my neighborhood, you can't walk 3 blocks without having a bunch of 5-year-old kids and 4 people walking by smoking weed.
Oh, the marijuana in New York City right now is out of control.
It is like an open bar situation, right?
Yeah, something happened where it's not exhaust that you smell anymore, just straight up pollution. Now it just seems like you're at a rock concert 24/7. And no, it doesn't matter the time.
Yeah.
Like, we work early hours and people are just lighting up at 10:30 in the morning.
And people who are going to their job, by the way.
Definitely.
Not just like people hanging out. They're out from Thursday night to Friday morning. Like, it's folks about to climb. I believe that's called a wake and bake. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that. Like, about to climb scaffolding and build things.
Yeah.
And they're ripping weed on the street.
The amount of construction workers currently working who are also smoking weed is alarming. But visit New York.
I never thought about it that way. And now I'm going to be looking up as I walk to my car after the show.
I'm assuming those are just the manager people. Like, you know, these aren't the ones who are actually measuring and cutting.
I don't know
what I'm hoping.
If I'm about to be tethered to an open air 37th floor construction site in New York, I might want to take the edge off.
That's why they're smoking.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Fair. I don't think those safety nets. Well, whatever. Okay. We've got a lot to do. Bogish is here. He's got headlines for us. We also are counting down the best moments of the Maggie and Perloff show from 2024. But Bogues, let's do your headlines first.
Football season is heating up, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
I'm going to hug him.
As Perloff said a few minutes ago, we are all now fair catch free kick experts. The Chargers tried the first one in 5 years last night. They made the first one since 1976.
And this kick is up, and it is good. How about that? A free kick field goal for Cam Dicker from 57 yards.
Matt Money Smith and a laugh track on Chargers Radio. Cameron Dicker, good as he said, from 57 on an untimed down to close the first half. If you don't know, you can try a field goal at any time from the spot of a fair catch. A penalty on the Broncos putting the Chargers in field goal range last night. There was no snap, just the holder and Dicker, but not Justin Herbert.
I know it's a rule. I can't say that I was prepared for that. I was expecting to go out there and throw a Hail Mary, and you know that's why we have coaches and people up in the box, you know, making that call. And you know, for Cam to go out there and nail that kick like that, you know, is a huge momentum boost for us.
Oh, so Herbert agrees with Maggie. He threw two second half touchdowns as LA outscored Denver 21-6. To win 34-27, the Bolts will clinch a playoff spot if the Dolphins and the Colts lose on Sunday. The Broncos would have wrapped up their spot with a win. Instead, their four-game win streak is over. More NFL games tomorrow. Patrick Mahomes, TJ Watt no longer appear on their respective injury reports, so they will play against the Texans and Ravens. And Geno Smith says his left knee is feeling better. He expects to go Sunday against Minnesota. Georgia football reportedly preparing to start the CFP at least without QB Carson Beck. He is still exploring surgery options for that right elbow injury he suffered in the SEC title game. The Bulldogs waiting on tonight's Notre Dame-Indiana winner in the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day. The Golden State Warriors took a 144-93 thumping in Memphis last night. The 51-point loss is their worst since March, when they lost by 52 in Boston. Sheesh. Your thoughts, Steve Kerr?
They took it to us. They were great. We just couldn't get anything going first quarter. They took us out of their stuff. They did a great job defensively.
Steph Curry only scored two more points than we did in this game, missing all seven shots he took. Luka and Kyrie didn't play, so the Mavs lost at home to the Clippers, 118-95. James Harden, 24 points and 7 assists. Zach LaVine, a season-high 36 in the Bulls, 117-108 win in Boston. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 35 in the Thunder's 105-99 win in Orlando. Penn State and Louisville advanced to Sunday's NCAA Women's Volleyball title match, and the Vegas Golden Knights topped Vancouver last night 3-1. They've now won 6 of their last 7. Guys, back to you.
Can I ask a really dumb question?
Sure.
You guys are going to laugh. Why didn't Luka and Kyrie play? Are they hurt, or was this load management?
We're going to go, I believe one has a bruised foot, one has a sore shoulder, and they have a game tomorrow with the expectation that they play in that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it was a home game, right?
Yes, to your question.
Yeah.
It was a home game, right?
Yeah. A bruised foot, sore shoulder, that's code for load management. Bruise, sore.
I mean, are we surprised? Like,
I know.
Is this a conversation from 15 years ago?
Like, it's just like the NBA regular season is so gutted now. Just the fact that the Warriors are losing early and just like, we don't care. We're going to lose by 56. Like, that's why people are not watching the NBA regular season. There's no other reasons.
Yeah, there's a major, major issue with the NBA right now. Okay, but we put that aside for a second because we are going to start counting down the most memorable moments from the Maggie and Perloff show over the last year. So I think, EJ, looking at the time, why don't we just do one in this segment? Why don't we do number 6? It's going to be the top 6 because we could not whittle it down to 5. I thought 10 was a little egregious. So we're going to go with the top 6 moments from the Maggie and Perloff show. So here is number 6 on the list. And WWE is all in.
Oh, wow.
Me and EJ wearing the singlets going to WrestleMania. It's going to be cold. It's going to be sucky. But we have to do this at WrestleMania where we can do maximum embarrassment.
We made it to WrestleMania 40. We are paying off our bet. All right, Perloff, you'll admit, we paid off the bet now. This is it.
You're wearing singlets. We're even.
Well, if there's only one way that we could repay you, EJ.
Yeah. Yes, number six on the list was the EJ and I and Perloff all getting into the spirit. EJ and I paying off a bet, having to wear matching singlets to WrestleMania. And then at the end, you hear us, we heel turn on Perloff in front of the WrestleMania ring, and we beat Perloff up.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Still yeah, that's mad. What that was.
Yeah.
He never saw it coming.
Bogus, get your mind out of it, guys.
I just don't remember the assault part of that show.
We'll put out the videos again today so everyone can get caught up.
Yeah, they threw me into a table, Bogus. It broke. It was...
EJ and Leotard might have thrown me off my game.
Yeah, there was thousands and thousands of WrestleMania fans. It's like, what are those nerds doing up by the ring?
We stood out even amidst that crowd.
Yeah, yeah. The face of the WWE PR person, when we actually, he let us in, he just looked us up and down at like the sort of judgment and bafflement of the like people in charge. Like,
which is saying a lot at a WWE event.
I know.
Shout out Greg Domino. Thank you, Greg.
It's like, you're media members wearing singlets.
It was also, too, like a reveal because we went to WrestleMania. It was April. Yeah. It was at the Link in Philadelphia. Yeah. So it's open air. It was freezing that day. So we take off our coats and it was like... Oh, no. What's underneath those coats? Like, not what you thought.
That's kind of the equivalent. Imagine somebody covering an NFL game shows up in shoulder pads. Like, Diana Rossini's got, like, eye black and a helmet on. That's kind of what we did.
And it was kind of as stupid as that would have looked.
Yeah.
It was very, very fun,
Being in that press box before we went downstairs was also a little weird.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the food line being like, hey, could you pass me the hot dog? He's like, sure.
Nice knee pads. It was humbling. It was maximum embarrassment, and that was the point because EJ and I lost a bet about whether or not the Connor Stallion scandal was going to impact Michigan. We thought that this was going to be a cloud that hovers over the Michigan season, and they would not win a playoff game. Joke's on us. They won the national title. We had to dress up like idiots.
It was super close. I mean, if Jalen Milroe didn't slip, you might have not had to wear the singlet. What was my... bet. I had to wear the singlet?
Would have had to. Instead, you were a trooper and got in the action with a rowdy Roddy Piper outfit.
No trooper about that. I've been dying to wear
another skirt outfit.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I lose again. Oh. Short things. Oh, barumph.
Oh, I'm still going to wear a skirt anyway.
I have to be honest. I am so glad I didn't have to wear that singlet.
It was not fun.
No, that wasn't fun. Not flatter. It's not flattering. No. Actually, you guys look good in it. You carried yourselves well, but I was super psyched that Jalen Milroe slipped on that fourth down play. I was celebrating like, oh my God, especially on a cold day, if you know what I mean, Manny.
You got to have a coat like mine, man.
Why is it shot at Manny?
I don't know. Got to have a coat like mine. That's what he means.
It was That was a day.
Not a lot left to the imagination in the old wrestling singlet.
No, it was not. And it just so happened that at WrestleMania, we just happened to run into a lot more people that we knew than I expected. Let's put it that way.
God, if I had a body part, anyone would want to see it.
Wow, I didn't realize my third grade teacher was going to be here. Hi. That was amazing. Wow.
What if I had showed up like an 80s, like one of those like Bob Backlund or Jimmy Snuka, just sort of Speedo and boots up to my knees and knee pads?
I mean, you would have fit right in with me and EJ.
Can you just picture that? Oh, my God. I'm not doing it. The singlet is not the worst thing that could happen, but I want you guys to wear the singlet that comes down to your belly button. Was that Bret Hart?
Bret Hart, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that would have been amazing.
Well, missed your chance, because that's never happening again.
Well, we can have another bet.
Another WrestleMania.
It was very nice of the people at WWE. They let us come right down to the ring. They gave us amazing seats, and we got to pull off this really, really silly thing. So
much fun.
Yeah. All right, so that was number six on the list, the most memorable moments of Maggie and Perloff through 2024. We'll be bringing you more of those moments throughout the show. Okay, lots to do today. We're asking you, do you think that the Chargers can win a playoff game after their big comeback from last night? We also have more embarrassing details about the most embarrassing franchise in the National Football League. Get to that next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's become a yearly tradition, a damning expose on the New York Jets that reveals embarrassing details about how the organization is run. You can basically set your calendar to this. It's either going to happen right around the holidays, Pearl, maybe around the Super Bowl, but yesterday was a banger. It turns out that according to multiple sources, and this is The Athletic reporting it, Diana Rossini, Mike Silver, Zach Rosenblatt, so three people on this story. They talked to more than 20 people for details here, corroborated by multiple sources. The headline is that the Jets nixed a trade for Jerry Jeudy before the season, Perloff, one that was fairly significantly down the road with the Denver Broncos because Jerry Jeudy's Madden rating was too low. Like Madden the video game. So you're wondering, Woody Johnson, he's 77 years old. Does he play a lot of Madden? I'm going to guess that's a no.
He's not on the sticks?
Leroy Jenkins. No, he may be looking at and maybe taking a little bit too much advice from his teenage sons, Brick and Jack.
Brick and Jack Johnson. Brick, what is Brick his real name?
It can't be.
I'm assuming it's a nickname.
Brick is definitely a high school bully.
Brick is a dumb guy from Anchorman. Like, you don't take advice from a man named Brick.
Well, the Jets are. And not just that, but the family, the Johnson family, is causing more bad feelings in the organization. So Brick and Jack are, I want to say 18 and 16, but maybe EJ, can you double check that on how old they are right now? When Woody Johnson left for the UK in 2017, the Suns were 11-9. And so now they're teenagers. They're having a lot more influence. And obviously, this is wildly embarrassing. And beyond that, Perloff, you know, listen, you don't want to skewering teenagers for being teenagers is not the problem here. The problem is the fact that the teenagers playing Madden is actually being used as a data point for any kind of decision that the Jets are making personnel-wise. I'm not disparaging the teenagers on this. They're just doing their thing. But who in their right mind is listening to the teenagers when you have an entire front office, you have, you know, well-respected general manager in Joe Douglas, who has since been fired. But how Joe Douglas reportedly said to a colleague, "I take orders from a teenager. I answer to a teenager," is what the quote is.
Yeah, but I mean, Is there a gray area where does that literally mean like all this exactly happened? Like,
so I'm glad you asked. Yes. A Jets spokesperson disputed the idea that Brick and Jack's observations impact the organization's decision-making process. They said, quote, it's used as a reference point. It's not determinative.
Okay.
But so, it is used as a reference point. They're not totally poo-pooing the idea that Brick and Jack, the teenage sons of Woody Johnson, have influence.
So
Brick is definitely 16. I can't find Jack's.
I think he might be 18, but we'll see.
Yeah. My 12-year-old daughter has a friend at the bus stop who's a boy. He's, I think, like, when he was 10 and 11, his baseball analysis was fire. I got to be honest. Because your brain, when you're that age, have nothing going on but sports. Would you rather have the 17-year-old football fan or the 77-year-old owner who is the ambassador to England making these calls? Honestly, I'd take Jack and Brick over Woody. Like, what does an owner know? They know just as much as Woody. The Madden rating thing, maybe I'm just positing that maybe there's a gray area. Because Jerry Jeudy is actually quite a polarizing player. Like, he'll have amazing games, and then he will kill you. So I'm not sure that I don't trust that that's the entire story.
Okay.
I think we're dealing in gray areas a little bit here. We'll talk to Diana later.
Yeah, Diana's going to join us in the 9 a.m. Eastern hour. This is her reporting along with Mike Silver and Zach Rosenblatt. And so here's the other part of this that I think is embarrassing for the Johnsons. The Madden rating, because Judy's just has a 1,000-yard season with Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, and now DTR. This is not the who's who of quarterbacks. If he was with Aaron Rodgers, you can imagine another playmaker would have been nice for the Jets this year.
Oh, my God. Jerry Jeudy. EJ, you're a Jets fan? Jerry Jeudy would have literally put you over the edge. I'm telling you, there will be a route where Jerry Jeudy will break off and the ball will go to the cornerback standing behind him. I saw it so many times in Denver.
Perloff, newsflash. EJ's already over the edge.
Team
Jerry sucks.
Jerry Jeudy hates the quarterback. So talented, but for some reason, he was traded for a 5th-round pick with all that talent. There's a reason why. He would have been a disaster at the Jets, because everyone's a disaster with the Jets.
That's true. And, you know, when they talk about culture and things from the top down, here's a little bit more about the Johnsons. Apparently, their behavior inside the Jets locker room has become an issue. And if this doesn't sound like typical rich people acting like they own the world, you own the team, you don't own the world. Not only do Brick and Jack bring friends, both male and female, into the locker room, which is really not, it's supposed to be a restricted area that's kind of just sort of private, you know, in terms of just players, coaches, media obviously gets to go in there at certain times. But these are friends, and also that the kids, the teenagers, and his wife Suzanne have been heard criticizing the players in the locker room, like within earshot.
It's the Jets that, again, pointing once again to their football acumen to criticize Jets. They might know what they're doing here. Give the team over.
You can't tell a player who's coming off the field after they lose, you suck.
Yeah, unless your dad owns the Jets, then apparently you can, and you're accurate.
Oh, my gosh.